404, thou art my everlasting portion. You know that one? Well, it was. Yeah, it's on. Yeah, 404, thou art my everlasting portion. Screen's not on. Oh, it is now. This is on VM Rest 404. Okay. Let's try 394 in on restoration. 394. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait.
Down on my knees,
try to answer my need. Teach me not to rely
on the
but to wait. Lord Jesus, we do want to be like that, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Be a little bit ambitious at times, Lord, and just rush ahead. And instead of having patience, which the scripture often says, have patience. Just wait upon the Lord and not try to push things from a man's point of view. But Lord, we do appreciate that we have this afternoon's communion. And we just wish a blessing upon the people that are listening in on the internet. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's try this one, number 311. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather.
I'd rather.
Seated, unless you have a testimony you'd like to share. Anyone got a testimony? Brother Howard.
Does anybody know who William Booth is? Correct. But he's more than just a Salvation Army founder. He's a man full of the Holy Ghost. Read his life story. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And I found a quote of his which I think is so true. It says this. He prophesied, because it's come to pass. The chief danger that confronts the coming century, that's now, will be religion without the Holy Ghost. That's right. Christianity without Christ. Forgiveness without repentance. salvation without regeneration, cleaning up your life. Topics are politics without God, and heaven without hell. Jesus spoke more about hell than he did heaven, but you seldom hear it preached. So, brothers and sisters, that's a really good quote. I'll read it once more. The chief danger that confronts the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, that you don't mention God, whatever you do. That's a no-no. And heaven without hell. What a wonderful word, wonderful prophecy. Praise God. Amen.
It's not unlike what Brother David has told us this morning. And I have to say that I've noticed some of those things mentioned myself. It's very, very apparent that that's exactly what's coming along. Brother Tadu.
Brother David Owen's testimony. Leslie, we have waiting. Yeah? I wonder, what is all this waiting about? But you see, in that place, it's where he wants us to be, just to wait on. And all the blessing he wants to give to help the body. Glory to his name. Amen.
Any other testimonies? No. Okay. Well, let's have another song there while you remain seated. Number 369, I will serve thee because I love thee. That's the biggest thing of it. Just love the Lord Jesus Christ and mean that you love him.
I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was not.
Sing one and then Brother Howard will come. 367, in your time. If you see Barbara and I leave before the end of the communion, it's just that we've got to go to a meeting. We have to be out. So that's why it could be. In your time, shall we sing that? In your time.
Praise be to God. I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. Who was blessed by the message this morning?
Amen.
Very good, wasn't it? I believe it was the gospel. It's how we should preach the gospel. Keep Christ in the center. It says here, "For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray just for a few moments before we come to the table that you'll just quicken this word to our hearts. Lord, I'm committing it to you and pray, Lord, that you'll make it real to every person here. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus. I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I've entitled this message, "Man's Extremity is God's Opportunity." Well, man's at its extreme, that's a good time for God to move in your life. When you're handling the situation, I can handle this, God can't get to you. Well, man's extremity is God's opportunity, or perfect strength in perfect weakness. Praise be to God. So may God speak to us now. God is speaking to Paul, the apostle, and saying, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." It totally opposes anything we've ever learned. Growing up, I'm gonna make inroads. I'm gonna get good at this. I'm gonna be confident. I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that. And God can't even go near you because you're in the way. He wants you out of it. And so naturally we want to work hard and to be strong, give our talents. And that has a place. There's nothing wrong with that. And we work hard to achieve. But the thing is, when it comes to the things of God, it's the direct opposite. God doesn't want my abilities if I have any. And he doesn't want your abilities if you have any. So when it comes to serving God and our walk with God, it is absolutely the opposite to what man thinks. God does not and will not tolerate human input into his work. Just messes it up big time. We've got to stay out of it and be led by the Spirit of God. And God can only help us all when we get out of the way. If we're in the picture, God cannot come to you. Because every time he shows you something, you reason some reason why. why I have to do that, why I don't have to do that. And so I just pray that the Lord will help us. He said, my strength, the Lord speaking to Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. So I'm so weak. Well, that's great. God can get to you. God can help you and use you. But we as human beings, when we reach our extremity, then it's God's chance to move in our life. It's important to be identify that human input. We're always adding to it. I think I can be a better singer, or I can be a better preacher, or I can be this. God says, oh my, not again. He has to wait for us to get out of it. Then he can really move in our life. So when it comes to the church, let God show us where we're going wrong. Often we hear people say, I'll tell you what, I'm living life, brother. That's normally the problem. You're living the life. God wants to live the life through you. Is that right, Peter? We think, oh, I'm living the life. Well, God just wants you to stay out of the life. Let him do it. I am the vine, ye are the branches, Jesus said, and the fruit is found on the branches. So that's what we need to be aware of. And many times our efforts are hid behind good intentions. They need to be exposed and rooted out by the Spirit of God. Our salvation is only through faith in the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. As Brother Owen said this morning, you can only be redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Who believes that? Say amen. Amen. Only by the blood. So I pray that God will help us. In Isaiah 64 verse 6, we are all as an unclean thing. Oh, all of us. And all our righteousness, the best you can do is filthy rags. Wow, that's what he said, not me. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So what is our righteousness? Our righteousness is anything we pluck up to try and achieve a better place in God. We're doing this now, we're doing that now, I'm better at this, better at that. No, we can't do that. Praise the Lord. We're just going to trust him. Often we use our excuses. Oh, brother, I'm no good. God knows I'm no good at that. I can't do that. Your excuses are the very thing God can use. I'm too weak. I'm too this. I'll read you something Brother Branham said, which is really good. There's so many of us like to testify or like to think that we're insufficient. And therefore, we make that an excuse. I have no education. I have no ability. I am unable to do this. And if you keep that up and do that in that way, keep going like that, then you can't amount to anything. But the very thing that will make we make excuses by our weaknesses, God uses that very thing to tackle the job with. Just contrary to human understanding, he'll use your weaknesses. He waits for us to get to that condition so that he can use us. We take the excuses and say, well, I can't do this. I'm insufficient. I can't do it. And God takes that very thing to do with the job with. That's true. And that's the reason why that he chooses us, because we're in that condition. God's not going to get a stuffed shirt and a person full of ability to do his work. He will not do it. Just remember that. He'll get somebody that can't do it. That sounds strange. Who's one of the greatest men in the Bible? Moses. Moses was one of the greatest preachers, the greatest prophet. There's so many things we could say, but what did he say to God? I can't do it in the burning bush. Lord, I can't even speak. God said, now this is good. He's not going to say anything out of turn. I'm going to speak through you, Moses. And God picked him up and delivered 2.5 million people. Defeated the strongest nation in the world at the time. So we see it's really important to put aside our abilities. God is looking for surrendered lives. He wants people who have surrendered lives and hearts, body, soul, and spirit. And that's hard because naturally we like to put our part into it. Oh, I think I can do this. I think I'll do a good job of this. God can't use you. He can't use you if you think you can do a good job of it. He doesn't want your ability. Perfect strength and perfect weakness. Yes.
Just thinking about David.
Yes.
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 Nothing in the stone.
No. That's right. Exactly. Exactly. It's a joke that this little young boy was going up before Goliath, a mighty warrior, trained and tall and strong, with a man that's holding a shield in front of him. God knew what to do. David picked up one stone, full of the Holy Ghost. That stone went right around, round and round. When it went out, it was under the power of God and hit him in the head. That's what happened. And he defeated the entire Philistine army. You think you can overcome something? You can't. But God can do it for you. Amen. Who believes that? Say amen.
Amen.
So we need to understand that. We often frustrate the work of God in people's lives with our abilities. It's a dangerous thing to rely on our own abilities. Or rely on our own thinking. Or our own perceptions of a situation. Even to rely on other people's abilities. Oh, he's a great person. Oh, he's a great, gifted person. Don't do that. There's only one great. That's the Lord Jesus. Who believes that? He's the only great one. So, that pleases God when he sees us leaning on him. So, we must not rely upon ourselves or upon others, but on God alone. He can be so hidden and unrecognized. As Brother David said this morning, God revealed in flesh, hidden behind human flesh. Brother Brandon made a statement, when we feel we are doing a pretty good job for God, then God is unable to use us. That's a terrible thing. Because I'm doing pretty well now. Oh, yes, sir. I've got the sussed. I think I'm doing all right. I'll be doing all right. God can't use you. Perfect strength and perfect weakness. God has to process. Has a process. The way up is down. Who knows that to be true? The way up, Murray, is down. You want to get up? You've got to get down first. Brother David said you've got to kneel down. If you want God, you've got to kneel down where he is because he's so lowly. May God just show us these things. In this last day, God is looking for nobodies to become somebodies. Not from your point of view, but from his. Who wants to be resurrected? Who'd like to be resurrected? I've got some news for you. You've got to be dead first. You must die. You can't resurrect a live man. You can only resurrect dead people. And in the spiritual realm, when you're dead in Christ Jesus, then you can have a resurrection. We're buried in the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. This, I'm standing on top of a grave. This is a graveyard I'm standing on. It's full of water. And people go in there and are baptized. The old life is buried. And they're buried in Christ and die in Christ. Then they come out of that water filled with the Holy Ghost. I've seen many be filled with the Spirit coming out of that water. If you've never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to be. That's God's command to you. So we must die first. And God has always used nobodies. In every occasion, God has to strip us down of all self-ability our own worldly ability, our own talents sometimes. He can use a talent, but he gives you a talent because he wants to use it, not for you to use. So may God help us all. God put him through the school. Who was this? Paul? He put him through a school for 3.5 years. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He learned or he knew things. Paul was a bright spark. But God had to put him through for 3.5 years through his school. That was Paul's. And Paul's reaction after God dealt with Paul with his own wisdom. Paul, who was a brilliant man. Paul was a scholar. Paul knew the Bible backwards. Listen to what he said. After being through the school. God's school. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 5. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you. Didn't want to know. Save Jesus Christ and him crucified. The crucified Lord. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Brothers and sisters, what we need here is the power of God to be manifested in our lives because he's walking with us and showing us how to lower ourselves down and become nothings, that he may be all in all. When Jesus chose his disciples, he didn't go to the temple. He didn't choose the scribes and Pharisees, the priests and all those people. He bypassed the intellectual priests. He chose men who are uneducated fishermen. They could hardly write. But these uneducated fishermen, they could hardly sign their name. When the Holy Ghost fell on them, they spoke in such inspiration. They are amazing. They amazed the people. You know what the people said about them, the disciples? These fishermen, brother? Nobodies, nobodies. Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, the nobodies, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They marveled at this. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's the difference, Brother Lee. When we're with Jesus, we're different people. We don't want to be scholars. We want to be Christ-like, filled with his love. And it says here in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Brother David touched on this. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I think he read that scripture, actually. And the disciples surrendered their weakness to God. And because they did that, God was able to use them. We all know about a dumb sheep. Who knows how dumb a sheep is? They are ultra thick. They really are. But you know, they have a character. There's something about a sheep, Sister Missy. There's something about a sheep. It can be led. You try and lead some other animal, like a wolf or something, bite your leg off. But a sheep can be led. And a child of God, the sheep of God, can be led by the Spirit of God. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. They can be led. I think it's a wonderful attribute of a sheep. Who loves sheep? I see the Lord in them. They might be thick, but there's something gentle about them. And that's what God wants about us. He doesn't want our knowledge, our abilities. He wants us to be tender enough to be led. If God tells you, you shouldn't be doing that, you're willing to do it. not arguing. Oh, Lord, I want to do this. No, he wants leadable children. That's what we'll be made up of. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Now the disciples, the chosen, had trouble signing their name, as we said. They were poor speakers and everything before Pentecost. Our education, our great knowledge is not needed to be used of God. God prefers you to leave it all behind you. Who wants to do that? The Holy Spirit's got to come on you. You know what to speak. Who's ever had that experience? When you're going to talk to somebody, it just comes out of you. Brother Lee, you've had that many times. It's God speaking through you. You don't even know it. But somebody say to you later on, what you said to me changed my life. Well, that wasn't you. That was the Lord speaking through you. That God doesn't need our abilities. I love this story. Who remembers D.L. Moody? Do you know him, Brother Keith? Oh, Brother Keith, you must know about D.L. Moody. Wonderful, wonderful evangelist. Many years ago, mightily used of God. And he was a shoemaker. I just want to read you something. Moody, the little old shoemaker, cobbler, he was weak. He was an example of weakness, Brother Branham said. The first thing it says that Moody did, he had no education at all, and his grammar was so poor, it was horrible. A man come to him one time and said, Mr. Moody, your grammar is the poorest I've ever heard in my life. Mighty used of God. He says that to a man of God. Can you believe this? He said, I'm winning souls with my ignorance. What are you doing with your education? The man was speechless. And I think that was a very good answer, he says. I may not know much, but God is with me. I'm seeing souls being saved, and that's all that matters. Praise be to God. We see the examples in the Bible about Moses, the great general of Egypt. So, Lord, I can't speak properly. Help. He sat on the right hand of Pharaoh. Moses knew he was called. In his own strength, he went out to take over Egypt and he killed one Egyptian. One. Total failure. The prophecy was God would deliver by a mighty hand, not by Moses. This hand would be the hand of God. And that's the only hand that can deliver you and I. The hand of God. Praise be to God. So Moses, like Paul, had to be stripped by God and made weak. Moses went into the wilderness after being trained up a general in Egypt for 40 years. And he went out in the wilderness when he ran away into the wilderness and took 40 years for God to get that stuff all out of him until he was just a shepherd. I'll read you this here. Something was said by Brother Branham. Why Christ speak? God can train a man, take him 100 years for 30 minutes work. Think of this, brother and sister. God can take a man and take him 100 years for 30 minutes work. But what a mighty 30 minutes. There's something in that, Lee? 30 minutes. But what happens in that 30 minutes after God training you and teaching you? God knows how to train. What the schools had put in Moses took for 40 years. It taken 40 years to get it out of him when it came to delivering Egypt. So our abilities hindering the work of God through us. He says here, well, brother, I can preach. Brother, I can preach. Brother Bram says he can't use that as long as you can preach. That's all right. I can do this, I can do that. You can't do nothing, he says. But if you yield yourself to God and let him do it, you say, well, Brother Branham, I know I am a teacher. Well, as long as you think you're a teacher, why? It won't get you very far. But the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Sure it is. The Bible says that. God sent the Holy Spirit to be our tutor over the church. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When God asked Moses to go to Egypt, the former general of Egypt, he said, I can't speak. It seems hard to believe that he said that to the Lord. I can't speak. He must have had a bit of an impediment or something. God had done a perfect work from a general to a person who couldn't speak properly. And in this educated intellectual genius, he was truly cured by the power of God. And when God gets a hold of us, and I want him to get a hold of me, who wants God to get a hold of you? Does anyone here want God to get a hold of you? Oh, brother and sister, may he get a hold of us and change us. There's so many examples in the Bible. Jacob became weak with a limp. David, rather than the mighty Saul. Gideon, he said, my family is poor, and I'm the least of my father's house. And God delivered the entire nation into his hands. Praise be to God. Talk about perfect strength and perfect weakness. 22,000 soldiers were coming with him. He said, I want you to go home. Gideon said, I want you to go home because God told him to. 22,000 troops were sent back home. And there's still 10,000 remained. God says, still too many. I don't want men's ability. The soldiers were reduced from 32,000 men to 300 men. And God did battle for them. And God came down to save mankind. He was prophesied to be the arm of the Lord, mighty to save. God wants to save your family, or save you, or save any of your loved ones. He can do it. But when the mighty God arrived on earth, brothers, guess what happened? You know what they found? A mighty man? They found a little baby. That's what they found. A baby. In a manger. A cow's trough. With straw around them. That was God's mighty arm. And still is. It's not in what we think. Not a great big priest or a great big high priest or something like that. He was the true high priest. He came as a weak little baby. And Satan tried to kill the little baby. He tried to kill him and failed. The disciples said, we thought it was he that should have redeemed Israel. At the cross, it was apparent he had total physical weakness. Jesus was so weak, he couldn't even carry the cross. Somebody had to pick it up for him. He had lost so much blood, so exhausted. He hadn't much sleep either. As I went down to Caiaphas' house, where Jesus was taken before the next day, he didn't have time for anything. He was weak and tired. Satan came out and said, he's going to be a walkover. Look at him. He can hardly walk. Naturally speaking, the devil was right. But our God works in the supernatural, in total weakness. And Jesus obtained total victory for you and I. And God wants people emptied of their own abilities before he can use you. Oh, brother, I can speak pretty well, you know. Thank you. Next. God says, somebody else. But brother, I'm no good at stand over here. That's how I feel sometimes. Truly, God knows I'm telling you the truth. God wants people empty. We all need to ask God to search our hearts today. Let us be honest with him. Do we think that we're somebody God needs? No, saints, we need him. God doesn't need you, we need him. In closing, remember the widow woman. She required the empty vessels, not filled vessels. Not even half-filled vessels. God could not fill vessels full of themselves. God cannot fill you if we're full of ourselves. Today there is a famine for truly surrendered children of God. This world is crying out for it. For the manifestation of the sons of God, we will see it. Before the coming of the Lord, you'll see the glory of God strike. It'll be powerful and fast. It's not going to be big worldwide, this and that. No, no. God will just move in his own sovereign way. So may God help us all to humble ourselves, be more sincere before him, that we may be strengthened by him. And he will strengthen us in our weakness to use us as he will. Praise be to God. Who loves the Lord? Who wants to be simple that God may use you? I'm so glad that's how he does it. Shall we stand for prayer? Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that it's perfect strength and perfect weakness. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. When we get to the end of the rope, Lord, you're able to help us. As long as we think we can do the job, we're defeated right there. So, Lord, we just pray that you'll help every one of us today to understand these things. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Shall we just sing a song, then we'll come to this communion service. What's that? I need thee every hour. I need thee every hour. Just all come around the table. Just come around the table. I need.